Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Who's afraid of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Well, apparently everyone in the political establishment and mainstream media. Very much like Donald Trump, he says what he thinks. Liberal pieties be damned. RFK Jr. is feared because he's fearless. To discuss these issues and more, I'm joined by my guest, Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. And in North Florida, we have Tom Luongo. He is publisher of the Gold, Goats, and Guns blog and newsletter. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, Lionel, let's go to you in New York. A little hyperbole on my part in my introduction there. I'm not endorsing Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but very much like the 2016 presidential campaign, which I was going to skip, it's domestic politics. And then there was a guy named Donald Trump, and then there was a guy named Bernie Sanders. Well, Bernie Sanders flamed, burned and crashed. Trump is still with us. But Robert F. Kennedy is changing the way this campaign is being looked at, much to the chagrin of the establishment and the media. Thoughts?
This week, my wife and I went to see Bobby Kennedy Jr. at an event here with Shmuley Botiak when he was disinvited to the Center for Ethical Culture because he, of course, overnight became an anti-Semite. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is an anti-Semite because he dared to suggest that there might be, believe it or not, a demographic or genetic component to different diseases like, Tay-Sachs and sickle cell. Anyway, make a long story short, he had to redeem himself. He was uninvited at the Center for Ethical Culture where Robert Oppenheimer went to school. Next thing you know, it was moved. Gentlemen, it was it was Woodstock meets Coachella meets Firing Line. People from every demographic, Hasidim, Lubavitchers, hippies, yippies, old, young, black, white, gay, straight. He has done what Trump has done. I'm writing his name in no matter what. And one more, I don't want to speak too much. My dream, my crazy dream, his vice president is Tucker Carlson to drag people from the right. No, listen to me. Drag people from the right. Bobby drags people from the left. We disintegrate this left-right, this ridiculous illusion of the left-right paradigm because Ronald Reagan, they laughed at. Mike Pence was into it. Kerry Lake. And you gentlemen, knowing what you know, would be also viable candidates because it's about connecting. So he is the greatest thing. And that's why Gavin Newsom is going to be sped up. Joe's on his way out, as evidenced this week by Hunter's plea. So the world, it is a changing.
It seems like, Lionel, you read Tom's blog.
Fair enough. Yep.
And I advise everybody to.
No, thank you.
It's very interesting. One of the things that really sticks out is that he's more popular among Republican voters than the Democratic voters. Okay, this is a really interesting thing here. And also, Tom, you said in your recent blog, and I'm paraphrasing it because I don't want to take it out of context, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is more of a threat than Trump. Explain yourself.
Oh, because I really do think that when they want to pull the plug on Trump, they can legally. Mm-hmm. And it's not because Trump should be in legal trouble or that he's did anything wrong, but this is just the way they operate. And moreover, I think that Kennedy is safer than Trump. Kennedy doesn't trigger people like Trump does. Like Trump brings out the irrational in a lot of people. And it's for this reason that even though I have a hard time believing that Joe Biden got 81 million votes, I can also make an argument that, Donald Trump is so divisive that everybody just came off the sidelines and said, you know what, I gotta get rid of this guy. And because they believe the gaslighting or however you want to put it. Like it's so for that reason, you gotta think, okay, Kennedy's not that guy. And so he's reasonably acceptable to Republicans because he's talking about, it's the one as Lionel pointed. He's the guy who can reach the center better than Trump can because Trump polls poorly with the centrist soccer moms. He just does. And that's the reality of it. So, you know, in some ways, I think they leave Trump in this game, depending on how things play out. Because if they can now strategically, if I'm the Democrats, if I put on my evil hat and I go, all right, how do we deal with Bobby Kennedy? We get rid of him and we leave Trump in the game to run against Gavin Newsom, because that is the perfect setup for them to steal the election again.
Well, you know, it's the authenticity element here. Lionel, I don't know if you saw Bobby's interview on the Breaking Points a few months ago, and it was just an abomination. It was a typical MSNBC attack. Oh. Never let him answer a question. Okay, never let him answer a question. Okay, and then he's on Bill Maher, which was he's always kind of bizarre, but he's a real intellectual, Bobby Kennedy. He has some very interesting things to say. Now, again, I want to preface this, you know, not that I agree all the time, but there's a person that makes me sit and watch the entire thing, which is very rare in our media environment. Lionel.
Listen, let's disabuse ourselves of feeling that we always have to say, you know, not that I agree with him. Because the other night, people were talking about vaccines. And let me just say something before I get it out. If I had to advise Bobby, a couple of things here. First, lose the vaccine narrative. You said it, you've spoken, move on. Give me a narrative, give me a worldview. Talk about other things. Show me the breadth. Go to what really hits people. Number two, there's an intellectual part of him, which is nice, but America is not intellectual. We want to feel something. We want to connect. Tell me something that's important. Number three, as far as Trump goes, I love Trump the way I used to like the Ramones. It was a weird acquired taste. You wouldn't want to play it at a wedding. I appreciate what they did in the scheme of things, but it ain't going to be top 40. Trump, we have developed an allergy to him. The Trump of 2016, it's over. It's vaudeville, bell bottoms, disco. It's nostalgia for his own good, for the rest of us. Plus, he would be, don't you think, gentlemen, he would be far more effective as the eminence grise, as the gray eminence, the kingmaker. He would be, with one tweet, I'm going to say this. There's no power in being the president. If you want to change things, if you want to make, my favorite movement is the murmurations of starlings, how they move in this cosmic, how do they do this? That's what he does. And believe me, Gavin Newsom, as you say, which I'm going to steal repeatedly, my friend.
Please
Gavin,
do.
Gavin is their last chance. It's the Hail Mary. And by the way, it's going to be Gretchen Whitmer as his number two, because already they are scaring. And one more thing, the big money Dems who basically came in, the shadow government folks who contaminated this Democratic Party, are now realizing, folks, this is not, you know, genital mutilation and puberty blockers. Where in the hell did this come from? No, stop. They've lost control.
It's very interesting, Tom, because again, everybody knows I'm a conservative. I'm very open about it.
What?
But there's so many people that that want to listen to Bobby Kennedy, and it's like, and I recognize his politics. It's the politics of his father and uncle. Okay, I mean, not that I agree with it, but I recognize it. I don't recognize the left right now. It's just babble. I have no idea what they're talking about. But I know it's not good for me. I know that for sure. And I think that's what Bobby Kennedy does. People, they can understand what he's talking about without being threatened, without being, feel like they're being talked down to. I think people do like having intelligent conversation. I think that demonstrates how popular podcasts are now, because it's long form. You can really go and do a deep dive. And every time I listen to him talk about something, not about vaccines or anything else, but like completely made Sean Hannity a fool on his own program talking about Ukraine.
Not hard to do, indeed.
Pro Hannity audience, and they were cheering for Bobby, not for the stupidity that Hannity puts on display every single night, Monday through Friday.
Right. I mean, there's a couple of things here. I this is the thing, and Kennedy's strategy and what she elucidated on the Joe Rogan podcast. Right, was very clear. My partner in crime over Gold, Goats, and Guns, Dexter White, said, "Dude, you must listen to watch the whole thing. You stay to the end. You have to listen to the whole thing." Like, I know you don't have time. I know you're overscheduled. I know you don't want to do it. I did it, and I got done with it. And I sat on the porch with my wife while she was doing her pottery, and we listened to the whole thing together. And we got to the last 20 minutes where he laid out his strategy. And I'm like, he's running the 2016 Trump playbook, except he's not using Twitter. I mean, he's going to use Twitter, but he's using the long form media of podcasts in order to break through what Lionel talked about, not, you know, get him on MSNBC so they can interrupt him and they can run their script, just like don't let him talk in front of Congress. And so Debbie Wasserman Schultz can sit there and grandstand and all. I mean, this is the play, right? This is the pantomime that we all go through and how scripted all this stuff is. And clearly we live in the golden age of podcasting because people want something better. And they want better discourse, and they're demanding better discourse. And if they're going to shut us up in our homes and tell our kids that the only value they have in society is consuming as little food as possible and playing video games and watching Pornhub, then these kids are going to listen to an awful lot of podcasts as their media. They're not going to listen to the CNNs and the CNBCs. And so Kennedy knows that he can break through that. So I agree with you, Lionel. Yeah, I mean, the vaccine stuff is important. Get rid of the chemtrails, dude. Like, this is the stuff that, like, drives me nuts.
Absolutely.
But focus on pollution, not climate change. Your environmental his environmental bona fides are outstanding, and he's talking about the one thing that environmentalists never talk about. Actual pollution, the thing that everybody agrees about. No, we create climate change, which is nonsense, to create a false left-right divide like they always do, to set us against each other and play the Straussian two-step thesis, antithesis, synthesis, march us towards friggin' totalitarianism. That's what they always do. Like, is this just dumb British MI6 stuff? And it just bothers me to no end. So we break through that, we move on.
Jump in, Lionel. We got a minute before.
By the way, that's Hegel. But aside from that, I don't want to be priggish.
Well, Leo Strauss,
a couple of things.
Strauss took it from Hegel. So
you're an anti-Semite. You're an anti-Semite. You're a Pat Buchanan anti-Semite. That's a code word. Just kidding. Two things. They laughed at Gibraltar. They laughed at FDR. They laughed at FDR with radios. They even thought that Lincoln was unprofessional because he actually took pictures. But let me throw something in. I agree with you. What we, I think the three of us, secretly believe we would never say on the campaign trail because people can't handle it because people are children. Just like if we had a restaurant, everything that we like to eat, we wouldn't put out there. We want to go for what's popular. So I agree with this. Geoengineering, not now. You know, flat earth, not now, not ever. But not a couple ever. Of things.
Hold that thought, Lionel. A couple of things. Hold that thought. We're going to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on the candidacy of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Stay with our team.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. This is the home edition. To remind you, we're discussing the candidacy of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. All Let's go back to Lionel in New York. You wanted to mention a few points before we went to our hard break. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Gore Vidal said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I'm a conspiracy analyst. And I got to tell you this much, and you can disagree all you want. But if we could put Bobby Kennedy on the couch and say, Bobby, I think we know that the people responsible for your father and your uncle were not the named actors in this particular passion play. You know it and I know it. Number two, your own family, including Jack Schlossberg, who was put up to this weird kind of a hostage video where he is trashing him. Bobby Kennedy is at the point where he says, you know what? I'm 70 years old. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a mark. And let me also say something. The people that I could destroy, the people who destroyed my family and took away my father when I was a kid, are the people who are pushing Joe Biden. So what a beautiful way for me to leave my mark and my legacy by upending it. And believe it or not, this is for you, Dad. Don't think there isn't a part of him that says, I'm going against, because he has been against. Remember, he took this battle on against Big Pharma, knowing what they were like. He loves this stuff. And what a way to bring the entire left-right paradigm down. And don't think that doesn't weigh in his subconscious. And that's as conspiratorial as I'm going to be today, at least in the open.
Lionel has such an interesting observation. I thought about this here. Why is he doing this? He's 70 years old. He's extremely well off. I mean, there's no more royal name in American politics than Kennedy. I mean, he's made in the shade and he's in pretty good shape too, okay? I mean, why the hell is he doing it? And I think Lionel just gave us the explanation. What do you think?
Well, I would say this. It also goes back to one of my favorite articles I've ever read in my life, which is the whole Kerry North top layer of the cake thing, which is that a man's life can be laid out as a three-layer cake. When you're a young man, you look for yourself. When you become this middle layer, you form a family, you start living for your family. And then once your family's grown, you now have to leave a legacy behind. How do you want to be remembered? At the end of the day, who shows up to your funeral, right? So this is what's driving men like Trump. This is what's driving men like Kennedy. It's what's driving a lot of us. It's what's driving me. I don't know about you guys, but it drives me every day, right? So, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, my daughter's nearly grown. This is my next phase of my life, right? And this is important. Like, so why is he doing it? It's the same argument as to why Jerome Powell is still at the Federal Reserve. Man's worth $100 million, could have went back to private equity during the zero-bound interest rates. Daniel DiMartino Booth makes this point all the time. Could be a multi-billionaire at this point if money was what was motivating him. It's not what's motivating him. What's motivating him is fixing the fiscal balance sheet of the United States and using the hammer of the Federal Reserve to get it done. Shameless plug for all my work over the last 2 years. But it's the same thing with Bobby Kennedy. And the same, and so again, I look at Kennedy and he's like candidate in the raw, right? But at the same time, he's also picking up and putting down talking points that the DNC has no answer to, and that will actually put them in a really big bind when we start getting into the primary season with Gavin Newsom. Like, what are they going to do with Kamala Harris? And how are they going to spear Agnew her out of existence and all of this stuff? I was thinking about this morning. I had to do a podcast for my Newsmax gig right before I came on this morning. And I kept saying to this over and over again, I'm like, I have all of these things that the Democrats have to deal with. Like, they've got to get rid of Biden. They got to sideline Harris. They've got to get past the GOP establishment. They've got all these different vectors. And none of them resolve with Bobby Kennedy in the race. It just doesn't. Everybody, like, once we get to the primary season, then what are they going to do? Just rig the vote count? What do you do? This is a really interesting moment in time. And again, I'm not on board with endorsing anybody. In 2016, Peter, like you, I was checked out. I'm like, I'm not voting for Trump. And then he started like doing weird stuff, like touching the third rail of politics at the time, which was Israel, and going and just being Trump. I'm like, oh, this is great. I've got to vote. For this guy.
The sacred cow, NATO, and things like that.
And now Kennedy is doing that as well. So, I mean, this is all very, very important. And he knows
I'll never forget that you mentioned about the third layer. I got to say this, shameless plug. A month from yesterday, I turned 65. Yeah. So I'm walking around and I'm Methuselah. I'm telling everybody, listen to me, boy. Yeah. One of the things I'll never forget this very quickly. They did a study between young people and old people. And young people were really good at doing, like, you know, whack-a-mole mental stuff. Very good. Older folks were much better at telling the difference between this picture and that picture. What's different? What's missing? What's changed? And they attributed that to judgment, the ability to weigh two seemingly similar situations, but seeing the difference and being able to say, this is different. Plus, we've been around where we've been through history. I remember, you know, you can say LBJ, Nixon, Watergate, Vietnam. So this is kind of familiar. And what I'm seeing right now, there was a paradigm shift. Everything's changing, including the way the news is delivered, which in many respects is its own religion and faith. Fox News and others is the controlled demolition, interesting choice of words, of what was a platform. It's done. It's finished. Look what happened with Sayonara. I keep bringing up Tucker. I'm not his biggest fan, but that was a pivotal moment. People are going for news sources. Joe Rogan is the most important person in media today. Joe Rogan, not Sean Hannity. That's like Irving or Levine. It's like, what are you talking about? Bobby Kennedy knows exactly what he's doing. And there's something about him. And I'll tell you what I saw. You don't get him ruffled. He says, well, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just want vaccines to be safe. Anybody got a problem with that? And people say, you know what? That son of a gun. That's right. Do you want your child to die in Finland for what again? Oh, my God. I never thought about that. We are a group of a country of lemmings. We started flying the Ukrainian flag, couldn't find it on a map. Kept calling it the Ukraine, like the Donald. We didn't even know Zelensky from a hole in the ground. And people have really thought about this and they're saying, wait a minute. And guess what? If he goes after abandoned Democrats, gays, the gay contingent who were so upset with this tea part of it, they don't know what to do. Black folks, Asians, people who have been left out of the equation. And here in New York, where we are being, where if you can make it through the din and the funk of pot smoke, we are being deluged with this wave of humanity, and nobody can figure out who they are, why they're here, where they're going, or who's in charge. Believe me, now is the time. And one last thing, Joe Biden is as old as Mick Jagger. Thank you very much.
He's 81. Well, that was trending on Twitter yesterday when Mitch McConnell, when Turtleneck was having a stroke on air, which was, I hate to make fun of Mitch, but then again, he's so evil, I don't care.
You know, but what's sad? I couldn't tell. I mean, I'm sorry. People said, well, look at him. I said, what's the matter?
Peter's going to write this right in.
I got to write this here. So, who is the, in your mind, who is the RFK Jr. voter?
He's at this point the person who understands that the Biden administration has been an absolute mess in a way that is that they understand that this is not what happened to Trump. Like this is bad. Like these people are insane and they've pushed us and they pushed the United States itself to a kind of breaking point. And they don't want to vote for Trump because Trump triggers them. So who is Bobby Kennedy's cohort? Everyone else, every normal person in America who is like, something is not right, here. There's something rotten in the state of Denmark or in the case of Washington, D.C. It's the people who, you know, Congress has what, a 7% approval rating. The media has a 12% approval rating or whatever it is. It's those. I mean, everybody sees it. We know that they know that we know that they know that we see it. It's all here. It's all staring us in the face. And the question is going to be, are they going to allow us to have a voice or not when they've already told us that we don't have a voice? Like this has been the lesson of the last 7 years. Can they beat us down to the point where they say we don't have a voice? I'm not let out of the house very often because most days I'm barely fit for human consumption. But when I do go out, I go out and I hang out with my millennial board gaming friends on Wednesday nights and sometimes on Saturdays, and I talk to them, and I get this general fatality that they have in a way that is actually fundamentally different than even my generation. And the question now is whether or not they even care, and will they come out for anybody? I don't know. It's a good question.
Lionel, it just seems to me that there's a very strong awareness that something is very, very wrong. And here's
exactly
it's the ultimate insider. I mean, Bobby has seen more political history than probably any person alive on the planet, if you think about it. Okay. Yep. And it's very much like a Trumpian pitch. I know the system because I was part of it. Bobby's being able to play the same thing. He knows a lot about politics. You don't have to agree with his politics, but he certainly knows a lot about it. And I think that gives him his thick skin. I mean, Trump's got thick skin. Bobby's got thicker. Lionel. Yeah.
Well, you know, a couple of things here. Years ago, I may not have liked his politics per se, but I think one of the greatest politicians ever was Reagan. He was the best. He could say it exactly. And he said, well, you know, we look at him now, but he was a genius. He would ask, are you better now or better off now than you were 4 years ago? I would change that different. This would be Bobby Kennedy. Do you want four more years of this? And that's it. If you want four, do you want four more years of this? Go ahead. Go ahead, be my guest. And Trump did something one time. He said, give me a chance. How bad can I be? I love when somebody says, what do you have to lose? Yes, yes.
What do you have to lose?
And going back to what you said,
Brian,
earlier,
you'll like
you
it.
You brought up one last thing. It's like Lionel brought up the word authenticity, or Peter did earlier. And this is very important. Back in 2016, I wrote one of my earliest articles was about the authenticity gap between Clinton and Trump. Trump may be fake and boorish and all of this stuff, but at least, but compared to Clinton, I mean, he might as well be the Dalai Lama. Like, you know, and that is, and that's what's out there on the stage. Trump won the election when he said, because you'd be in jail. Like, it's that simple.
He also did something. I think you and I probably agree with, even though we may not agree with his politics, but Bernie Sanders is Bernie Sanders. He's not kidding. And I saw in Brooklyn on a very cold afternoon, a bunch of young people crying. They loved him. And when he basically was hosed, in fact, if he could somehow go to these young people and say, are you going to let him do that again to you? You were hosed by Hillary Clinton. Now, you can do one of two things. Because he does come across. Remember, he's 70 years old.
I have to jump in here. We're really bumping up against our time limit here. I want to thank my guests in New York and in North Florida. And I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, cross talk rules.